trying to be all things to all people and ends up being just shit. All
nothing right. to nobody.
Yeah. Right, right. Well, shit, let's just use Spotify. Fuck.
If only there was a solution.
Well, like ground up rebuild.
Yeah. Yeah. Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, the processing of visual and circadian information in the mammalian retina. Today in the studio, David Robinson, PhD of OHSU's neuroscience graduate program.
Is that who it is?
At least that's what the internet tells
the
us.
The only David Robinson I can find.
Really?
When you Google
the
it.
Only yeah. one. All right.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously you weren't playing for the San Antonio Spurs.
No, I retired a while back.
Okay. Yeah. It's long behind you. Yeah. And then over here to my right, your left, Aaron.
That's right.
Yes. Which means nothing to anyone listening to this, because we don't usually produce in stereo. Todd Parker, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead and lean that. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead and lean right
it's
in.
It's good to see you.
Yes.
And Todd, this is Todd the truck driver, who is one of our fabulous donors. Thank you so much.
Yep.
And you're drinking the fruit of your donations right there.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, no, because our beverage sponsor, the
That's
Beer
true.
Mongers, provides those for us.
But let's let him think that this is his donation.
Oh, there you
He's
go.
Yeah. Let him feel good about this. You know?
Oh, sorry.
Two birds.
So anyways, yeah. And then over here, right next to you, Todd, Sydney, hello.
Hi.
Good to see you. She is moving into town, and Todd, you're here helping her move in for collegiate reasons. So welcome to Portland.
Thank you.
One to visit, one to stay. Yep. So, and if you stick around, we're going to have a bonus episode this week with Todd, and we're going to talk a little bit about bicycling and trucking and how they go together. So it's something you've been doing for a while.
Yes, it
so,
has.
Yeah. So those interested, stay tuned that there's going to be a B this week. So
that's right.
Aaron, what did you do this weekend?
This weekend, not much.
Are you sure? Because there was a financial transaction that took place.
Oh, that was today.
That way. Oh, so that
was
the weekend.
That was less than 7 hours ago.
Let's start this over. Aaron, what did you do this week?
Well, today I bought a new bike.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I bought a used bike.
Nice.
Yes.
What kind of a bicycle is this?
This is a Georgina Terry.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sad to say I don't know exactly what that means.
Well, you should.
Fill me in.
Georgina Terry was the first women's oriented frame builder.
Okay.
Because, you know, different geometries and different bodies need different geometries.
Sure.
And so she, was really dedicating towards women's frames or women's oriented frames, which lends itself to shorter, more petite people.
Okay.
I.e. myself.
Okay. I was going to ask, is this for you or for someone else?
Well, no. This is going to be for me. This is her, Georgina Terry's Athene, if I'm pronouncing it right, which is their mountain hybrid type bike that whoever owned this modified it. It's originally supposed to have 26-inch wheels. This has 24-inch wheels.
24. Those are so tiny tires.
Yeah. It's a 12-inch mountain bike frame with 24-inch tires.
Okay. So I'm looking at the picture that you have in the show notes here, as well as I'm looking at the bicycle outside that you have your bob trailer attached to.
Correct.
So you took the bike home today.
Correct.
Using that.
Using the bob trailer.
Nice.
Yes, I've got a little skewer attached to the front of the bob trailer. And so you take the front wheel off the fork and you put the fork in the skewer, tighten that down, and then you just tie the rest down with the various tubes that I've collected over the years.
Voila. No car required to transport
your
bike.
No car required to buy a bike.
Nice. Excellent. It's good to have. Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you have to take transit, which we also support.
I almost did. And really, the deciding factor was that it was going to take me an hour via TriMet, which I knew it was going to be like a half hour ride on a bike.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I did. I'm going to turn this into, like, you know, a city fun zippy bike.
There we go. And so that means the red hair among horses, which is your defined disc trucker, that means that's going to turn into an adventure rig.
That's my hauling and adventure. I mean, it always was. You know, I mean, just look at her out there.
Is and shall be. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I want a bike that, like, I can do some fun, more, I don't know, risky, maybe, rides with it. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is I've put so much money into the red hair among horses that, like, I don't want to crash it.
Right.
Not that
right,
I want
right.
to crash this other bike, but I might be more out to doing so.
I got this other bike just so I could crash
just so
it.
I could crash into shit.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing this thing in person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to get this, set up and like, you know,
yeah.
going to where. Oh, and also my mom's going to be around.
Oh, yeah.
In a couple weeks.
It's going to be a mom bike.
Who is, yeah, she's significantly shorter than me. So okay. This bike totally would fit her.
There we go.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
It's kind of like Aaron Delaney's visitor bike.
Yeah, yeah.
You have two frames and one of them is useful for people to come and see you.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, congratulations. That's right. And your mom's coming in soon.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks now?
Yeah, October 3rd.
There we go. And she's going to be here.
She's going to be in Portland.
In the studio?
Maybe. She agreed. She agreed to do it.
That means we can't swear in front of her then.
I mean, I can't say I've never sworn in front of my
mom. Oh, sure. But you wouldn't do it here, probably. Or would you? I don't know. Well, I guess we'll find out.
She listens to the show.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Hi, Aaron's mom.
Occasionally. Not as much as my brother.
Sorry about the fuck words. yes. Anyways, that'll be exciting. Good to see her.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, this weekend I went camping.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Where'd you go?
So my housemate Jeff is a wine tour guide. Usually he gives wine tours by minivan, but he and I and Adele had been talking for ages about, like, oh, we should go out and, like, bicycle through wine country and camp and that sort of thing. And so we ended up finally doing that after, like, 2 years of talking about it
in No Beer September.
Yeah, yes. I was gonna say, how did wine country go?
Did you
sober?
Just Bill Clinton it?
This is the worst. Yeah, exactly. I didn't inhale. Exactly.
You just swish it around.
Well, apparently that's what the pros do. Like, you know, if you go to any winery worth its shit, you go in there and there's like a little spittoon basically
that
you can like pick up. And so I tasted like five varieties of wine at the first one we went to the day before yesterday, and I spit them all into the thing. That's the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, not drinking for the month of September. Sober September has been really easy until the point where I was presented with, hey, here's some booze.
Put it in your mouth.
Now put it in your mouth. Now don't swallow.
Right.
You know, it's like naturally.
After not having alcohol for so long.
It was the worst, but it was also not that bad because I'm not a huge wine fan to begin with. So, okay. Yeah.
What do they do with the spat wine?
Well, initially I thought, well, maybe somebody else could drink it. But then I looked in it and I realized that wine, when it goes into your mouth, like, cleans out all the stuff that hangs out, like all that. Yeah.
So it's called a Rossi later?
I guess so. Exactly.
Just run it through like a strainer.
Right, right. Just some cheesecloth or something. You know, a used paper towel.
Yeah, it was not desirable at that point. But I mean, my buddy Jeff, and he, like, you know, he never gets to drink the wine that he takes people out to see. And so he was actually drinking some. But he said, like, after a certain point, we climbed about 1,500 feet between the bottom. Like, we took the max to...
some good climbing.
Yeah. Actually, we did it twice. It wasn't... well, I think it was probably like a total of 1,500 feet of climbing, so maybe like 800 feet up and then another 600-700 feet up, something like that.
Okay.
He was feeling a bit lightweight after all that climbing, you know, because tired and not a lot of food. And so he actually did the sip and spit too, so I felt like I fit in.
Oh, right.
And I had tea. I had like unsweetened iced tea that I brought in the tumbler.
Oh.
So, yeah. But I'm looking forward to October 1st. I'm going to have a beer party, I decided.
There you go.
So,
right on.
Anyways, that was my weekend, and it was a good one.
Speaking of beer party.
Yeah. You know where there's always a beer party?
I was going to say, there was a beer party going on today.
Seriously. And yet there was a seat open.
Yeah.
That seat could be yours at the Beer Mongers. It's Southeast Division and 12th. They are our fine beverage sponsor. We're fantastic fans of them. Also, they just cut down the tree. I don't know if it was the Beer Mongers that did it or not, but there used to be a tree by the bus stop there that you had to, like, kind of hack your way through.
Right. Yeah. It made it pretty inaccessible. Like, if you were somebody who had to have, like, some kind of, you know, mobility device to to be able to walk through that sidewalk. It made it very difficult. I've seen on one occasion, anyways, someone with one of those motorized chairs.
Oh, yeah?
Actually get out onto the street.
And go around the tree.
And go around because navigating that tree is just too difficult.
So the beer mongers, no longer bushwhacking required to get there from here.
Are they New Yorkers?
I don't think so.
All right. Because they have some Yankee stuff up on the walls.
Maybe they are.
They do. That's right.
That's a good question.
I think we went over this in their episode, honestly.
You know, we probably did.
Well, I've been that deep in the archive, I guess.
Totally.
Well, that's not to scold you so much as that's kind of egg on our face for not remembering.
But you know what? They're a fantastic place to drink. So recommend if you come into town. By the way, Todd, have you been to the Beer Mongers?
We looked at it while we were here.
Okay, excellent. Well, we should make sure that you get over there at some point. They finally have a, what is it? Brauherren alcohol free. I don't think that's English, but this is an Einbecker.
Is this the one that I
beer.
Had?
I don't think so. Well, maybe so. Because you had one from there one time.
I had one from there.
Yeah, yeah. Also, we have this one over here.
I got myself the Portland Ginger Brew.
Yes.
Classic.
And over here, there was the the Hop Valley Pale, which Todd is enjoying. And Sydney is enjoying the Rogue Honey Orange, which is that all right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Excellent. Fantastic. So thank you, beer mongers, and everybody.
And Silver Moon.
And Silver Moon. Oh, I'm sorry.
We can't leave them out of it.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, it's a new Bend brewery, if I'm not mistaken.
I haven't actually gotten that deep into the label.
That's all good.
Bend, Oregon. Yeah. It's the Hobnob.
The Hobnob.
Nice. Or the Hop-Nob, rather.
Hop-Nob.
Yeah, there's not the second bump on the letter.
Ah, there we go.
Cheers.
You're smart with ruins and such.
I heard Bend, and so I thought it was the Hobnob.
Yes, yes. Well, David, thank you for coming in to join us.
Thanks for having me.
We should start with the thing everyone knows you famously for that you really are tired of talking about.
Oh, the best photobomb of my life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So there was that situation where there was the car driver and a tall biking person who they were kind of like not being polite to each other.
It was a feedback loop, yeah.
Yeah. And you kind
that
of ended up...
That is a great way of describing it.
It is.
Yeah.
I've talked about it a little bit.
Yeah. You've had to process this a number of times.
I've done some PR on this topic.
Yeah. We won't rehash the whole thing, but I just want to people's understanding. It was an altercation where neither party was really on the right. You got stuck in the middle and you're tired of talking about it. But what have you taken away from that whole thing?
And the biggest thing is that, you know, really engaging with an angry person is not really going to actually accomplish anything other than the whole feedback loop of it. And it's both the good thing and the bad thing about the, you know, Portland bike community is that everyone wanted to talk about it without having any info beyond What's-His-Face's article that he wrote based on an email about a Facebook post.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right, right. So just a lot of secondhand information there.
That'd be generous, but yeah.
There we go. Yeah. So do you have any tips for interacting with angry people?
Don't
stay away.
Yeah. I mean, it's in this case, it was on the Greenway, or the colloquially referred to over beers, the Screamway.
The Screamway,
at this moment in
the neighborhood
time.
Screamway.
Oh, the 5 blocks of clay between Grand and 11th or 12th, whatever. 11th, I guess 11th would come first in that
right.
case. But anywho, I mean, it was just really ridiculous all the way around, mm-hmm. and just having to kind of figure out what's going on and. Hi, what is going on?
Right.
And then just having to run away. And I really hope that doesn't become a thing. And then, sure enough, it's a thing.
Right. And yet it hasn't happened again, as far as I know.
Right. Well, you look, justice is more of a joke than an actual thing.
Right.
But, you know, in this case, I don't know. I was amused by all the... I accidentally read all the Oregon Live comments in there.
Accidentally?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, please don't do that. it's, you know, oh, they're throwing a lock at, women. No, they threw a lock at a car. you're aiming your car at a person on
right.
a bike. There's a slight difference there, but don't throw locks at cars.
Okay, there we go. That's a good takeaway. Yeah. I suppose that would be what we would play the drums underneath. At some point, we'll do that.
Yeah. We'll put that in post.
We'll fix it in post.
As the running joke.
Perfect. So one of the things, I mean, you do a lot of things, the least of which is pop up in places which you get implicated for later. But should we start with the you did this 100-mile ride that I met you on?
Yeah.
And that was when you had you were on a fixed gear bicycle. Was it fixed gear or single speed?
It was fixed.
It was fixed. Yeah,
a Pista 61 centimeters, so a little bit too big for me, but
okay.
Fine.
Right. And you rode 100 miles on that. And the rest of us were there. We all rode 100 miles with you. But you were the one to be lauded because you were always working the entire day.
Well, except for I did at one point have a race with a motorcycle cop down a hill where he pulled up along and said, "Hey, want a race?" I was like, "Oh, shit, why not?"
All right, then.
So pedaled until I couldn't, and then I'm just supermanning down the hill, and he's yelling numbers at me, and I don't remember what they were.
Wow, but where was that?
That was right before Willamette Valley Mission or whatever.
Okay.
Before ferry number two.
Oh, yeah. So the cop was probably supporting that. Was it like the Cookie Monster race or something like that? There was some organized bike ride
that
we happened to run into.
We only saw the really angry people at the very end of the ride. Yeah.
I forgot about those guys.
Angry at you guys?
No, it was they were upset at each other or at their bikes or at something. They were just kind of we just read, "Hey, how's it going?" And
we were trying to be friendly, and there was absolutely no response.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
and hence learning your lesson, you did not engage with the angry people.
Actually, I think this was that was about 2 weeks before
this was training.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
That was my warm up for.
Right. So, what was your? How did you feel at the end of that? 100 miles on a fixed gear.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it was type 2 fun. So in retrospect, it's, hey, this is great. At the time, I was probably pretty close to bonked because, I don't eat food when I should on rides, I guess.
Okay.
But, it was fine. It was also the only bike I had at the time.
Sure.
Because I had two bikes out in the wild with tweakers or whoever that have both since come back.
Cool.
Yeah.
If you love something, let it go.
Yeah. Well, write down your serial numbers.
Right.
If you love something, write down your serial number.
Yeah, there's another piece for post. But it was what it was. There was that one, Pizza Mountain or whatever. It was not actually Pizza Mountain, but where I didn't quite have the gear to spin all the way up to the top. But
okay.
That gave you an excuse to polish off most of your bottle of whatever you had at the top.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I mean, for the purposes of sharing publicly, we'll say it was a tasty beverage that in no way was illegal to be consumed in public.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was apple juice.
Yes. So, okay. Just that one. Yeah. That one place.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I kind of had, as we got into the rollers towards the end, it was a slightly different strategy where I hit a downhill and it's like, oh, sweet. Everyone else is kind of coasting into it. And that's my opportunity to just pedal as hard as possible.
Time to build up.
Get the momentum so you can get up the next one. So
gotcha.
Go from right back on. Of the pack, sprint to the front, then fall back as everyone's catching up with me on the hill, and then we're back on flat.
Right.
But, yeah, you play the cards you're dealt.
Single speed life.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, that was an impressive move, so I'm proud of you. Well done.
Cheers. Thanks.
Yeah. Did you get type 2 fun from Tim Mooney or somewhere else?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Internet or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I know type 2 fun.
Type 2 fun is the fun that sucks while you're doing it. We're sitting there going, meh, and then you go back later and you kind of gloss over all the parts that were really annoying. That was a cool thing I did. Yeah.
Glad that happened. It made for a good story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The rains in Monterey.
Yes. Yeah. Type 2 fun.
Type 2 fun.
Exactly. So you did some mountain adventuring that I was jealous of. I wanted to be a part of it, but I think I was out of town.
Yeah, the Hood Lap, or I forget what it was originally called. But basically just went up around Mount Hood, took 3 days, rented a mountain bike because I didn't know exactly what I was going to come across. Turns out anything that can handle gravel could probably do that route.
But, okay.
Yeah, hit, I think 6 or 7 lakes around Mount Hood and then snuck back into town. 3 nights, it was just under, 3 total days of hours.
Nice.
Including got nice and drunk at a 4th of July party up in Parkdale. So.
Right. So is that, you were telling me the story, is this where you kind of bumped into some people? And
Yeah, I mean, it was, I had kind of made the event saying, hey, I'm going to go ride around Mount Hood, and slowly people were like, hey, that's a good idea. Oh, wait, I don't have the bike. Oh, wait, that sounds like a lot of climbing.
It's the drop-off, as it always happens.
Yeah. Right. And so it just turned into, hey, David's going to rent some stuff and go ride forever, and it'll be fine.
Turn into a solo trip.
Right, exactly. But everyone else kind of, somebody had a cabin out in Parkdale or something. And so there's a group of, people who I enjoy spending time with out in that area. So kind of, and, oh, actually, I was going to camp at Lawrence Lake, which is right there. So, all right, I'll sleep on it. you know, porch of a cabin.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, why not? Oh, cool, you have beer and food here. That's nice.
I'll take you up on that.
Yeah, especially because in my stoic forethought or whatever, my nutrition was mostly a jar of chunky peanut butter.
That's right.
And a spoon. Which would have kept me alive, but it wasn't exactly appetizing or...
Didn't keep you happy.
No. It was. I haven't actually really owned peanut butter since then in jar form.
It kind of ruined peanut butter for you?
Well, no. Yeah. Well, I mean, you don't eat it with a spoon anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, but, I was coming to actually at one point. It was right after the second time I had slept. So coming in towards the ski areas, right after Timothy Lake, Clear Lake, that area. Bluebell Pass or Blue Box Pass.
Okay.
There's a sign as I'm coming down and, first like bomb a mountain pass that I've had, since climbing for, a day and a half. The sign says, barbecue ahead. Wasn't sure if that was like a Looney Tunes, mirage or whatever.
Right, right.
Real, but sure enough, there it is.
You end up in like a sand pit or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I knew there was a gas station up there and it turned out to be in the parking lot of the gas station. I kind of rolled up sweaty and the guy says, work up an appetite, as he does. I swore really badly at him expressing affirmation. Yeah. So ordered way too much food, went and bought a Gatorade, ate all the food and drank all the Gatorade, then took a nap on a picnic table for like 2 hours.
Yeah. Are you often a Gatorade fan or is this just
That was just electrolytes at that point. It's not something that I'll typically, grab unless it's, we're looking for, if you're looking at the fridge of beverages and need something that doesn't have alcohol in it, you'll sometimes grab that. But
right.
This was, no, I actually need some electrolytes.
I've been surprised because I'm not a huge Gatorade fan myself and yet, if it's been a big, mm-hmm. Exertion of some kind. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's time.
I, for one, swear by it on long trips.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's anytime you're sweating or just going for an extended period of time, you'll know when you're at that point.
Yeah. And if Pedialyte is too sweet for you.
Right. I mean, I had some of the Scratch Labs powders that actually worked out pretty well.
But I haven't tried those. How does that work?
Yeah, it's just a little pouch of powder that you throw into your water bottle.
Okay.
Of course, I only brought one water bottle because, again, depth of foresight. but I had a liter and, legs cramping or whatever. All right, well, shit, time to make a beverage or a cocktail or whatever. And
right, a little mixology.
Exactly. And then finish that and fill up the bottle again with actual water.
Right.
I hope that gets you to the next pump. But
I've never taken any I've never jumped into the whole, recovery beverage thing because there's a whole line of things you should get, right?
There's the goos and all the Fred stuff.
Right.
But, this was more, how can I bring – I had very little cargo capacity. So it was – I can't bring Gatorade with me.
Sure.
Really. So how do I bring electrolytes without unless Century actually – what's-his-face had the tablets.
Oh, yeah.
I was originally going to grab those.
Matthew?
Yeah, Michael? Matthew.
Okay,
listening, we apologize.
I haven't seen him since then.
We remember. He actually just moved to town, I think.
Oh, he did?
Yeah,
okay.
He moved down to Natalie. But anywho, concentrated forms of electrolytes that if you're Aaron Delaney, you'll just eat as a
that's right.
lozenge.
Suck on it like an Altoid. Yeah.
Most people will dilute in water.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a space saver at that point because you can find liquid along the way. You can't find, magnesium.
Right. At least not in concentrated doses.
Right. Not in human soluble dose.
Wait, does that mean you could also light it on fire? It'd be like a fire starter?
Actually, I didn't try.
Magnesium burns, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's enough. You need a strip of magnesium to light on fire.
So you can't take your energy beverage tablet and just
imagine boom. All the other things that are in there would probably also be somewhat flame retardant.
Right. They're like the things that you would find inside of a fire extinguisher or something. Okay.
No. If anybody finds out, write these guys a letter.
Totally. We want to see a field test on this.
Can you burn electrolytes?
Yeah, yeah. Very good. So that was a 3-day.
I rode out on the evening of the Thursday before 4th of July weekend, which this year was we had the Friday off going into it. So I left Thursday night, was going to go to Milo McIver, and then it was dark and I didn't care anymore. So I just kind of crashed in whatever park that is by the what's the word? Dam.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one. And I ended up sleeping on the Frisbee golf course and realizing that it was all set up for the fireworks the next day or whatever. And
woke up
and got going and was going to go down. There's a nice little tucked away road, so I wasn't going to be on 20 whatever road, Estacada Highway or whatever.
Yeah, 224.
Yeah, that's the one. I was on Faraday Road, which turns out to be very closed.
Yeah.
I saw the sign that said, hey, road closed. I said, ah, it can't be that bad.
because Faraday is like – generally it's a great place to bicycle.
Yeah.
And it's closed to auto traffic.
Exactly.
The
part I was on was great riding until there's a huge washed out section where there's chain link fence. And I was ready to pull out the wire cutters. In my mind, I was drawing a pretty picture of continuing going.
Right.
Yeah, that's more of a pit than a road.
Okay.
Do I really want to do that, or do I want to add a couple extra miles?
That fence is there for a reason.
Right.
Yeah.
So I went back, and of course, the alternate route over whatever the highway that is a big stupid hill for no reason.
Yes.
Go up and down, and then you're right back where, hey, Faraday Road.
Yeah.
Crumble, crumble.
I've ridden that one.
Yeah, you know the hill.
Yeah, because I tried it in long sleeves and wool shorts one time. It was just kind of I was in between wardrobes, and I didn't really know what I was supposed to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was a hot day, and it was the wrong choice.
Yeah. My attire choice was the stupid pink shorts and a wool shirt. And that was plenty.
Yeah.
But
so Faraday Road, when it's open.
Yeah, lovely riding. The river's right there. You can see all the little salmon traps or whatever. But, do make sure that it's passable. And if it says road closed, it might actually be closed.
Right, right.
So how far were you in on this road before you turn back?
Five or so miles.
Okay.
It was day one of, first full day of riding. So not deal-breaking by any means, but just I guess that was the choice I made when I decided to ignore a sign.
A significant distance.
Yep.
Well, it reminds me of have we told the story about Adele? I think we told it on my trip update. Adele and I got lost on the way to Logan and Tammy's house down in Northern California, and that was because I ignored a private road. No trespassing sign.
Yeah.
And it turned out that Google thought we could connect, and we couldn't actually connect. And
yep.
You can get in trouble. So just read the signs. That's the sort of thing maybe we should all do.
Right. And if you decide to ignore them, accept your fate if it comes back to bite you.
Right, right. Don't get angry about it. Yeah, because that's,
Don't just throw Ulux at the fence.
Dink, dink, dink.
Eventually, it'll wear them down.
Right, right.
Yeah.
But then over the way, I had some people who were ostensibly chasing me on a tandem trying to catch up. Then I heard word they were in Oregon City, which was not on the route that I had drawn. So, all right, well, I'm going to go up the mountain. Let me know what happens.
There we go.
But Pipeline Road over Estacada Way or whatever the hell it is.
In the hills.
Yeah, basically you're going up to the Frog Lake Reservoir. When I drew it, I just did the whole thing. I just got bored at work and started drawing maps.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess I don't longer have that job. So anyway. there was two Frog Lakes that I was hoping to actually make it to the other one to camp at.
Okay.
And it turns out this was the reservoir and the other one is the actual Frog Lake.
But I see.
You go up, it's Forest Road 46. It's paved for a little while, and then there's this weird little community just tucked into the woods with a swimming pool in the middle. And then it's just – actually, the single steepest part is right there as soon as it turns to gravel. And then it's fine.
Okay.
There's a lake where the reservoir where you can get a little bit of water and keep going. And it's just up constantly, but it's – whatever. Low gear, spin it.
Were you purifying water at this point?
Yeah, I had a little pump, so I did fill up with the pump next to some guy fishing with his kids at Frog Lake Reservoir. But most of the you'd go through campsites, and a lot of the lakes actually had the old school Mountain Hood creaky pumps.
Right.
We're all doing the gesture, but nobody can hear that.
You do this.
Yeah, you do this.
It makes that noise.
Right, yeah. And then, of course, all the water. So you can fill up a liter pretty quick there. But
totally.
Those are great, but then when not, there's the pump.
But those, they filter the water through the ground, so ostensibly it's clean.
Right. I just figured, it's taking me a day and a half to get here.
Right.
I'm a ways out in the woods. I don't need any. What's your preferred euphemism for emergency underpants or whatever?
Oh right, yes.
I didn't have the emergency underpants with me.
The scatological emergency.
Emergency. That's what we were hoping to avoid.
right. And you did.
Yeah. No problems.
Good for you.
Yeah, it was actually at that point, your body just kind of shuts down for a few days.
Right, right.
I'm just going to keep everything.
Exactly. Yeah. You never know when you might need it again.
Right, exactly.
I found on long trips, things that would normally irritate my stomach, doesn't bother me.
That's fine.
We do not have time for indigestion.
Right,
we're just going to hang on.
There's food? We'll use that.
Yeah.
But does that mean that you have a bunch of indigestion later?
No.
It's,
no.
It's like the mental trick that gets
you burn through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Gets you right past.
Yeah. I discovered this when we did the Crater Lake trip.
Oh, yeah.
And we were like eating ice cream like crazy.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I'm thinking to myself, like, I'm going to regret this, but it's freaking delicious. And,
right.
Yeah. And nothing happened.
Well, that's good.
Nice.
Nice. So that's some type 2 and some type 1 fun.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's exploratory, so it's all great.
Yeah.
You know, you're on your bike, so you're in that kind of lovely state that you know, when you're thinking about nothing and everything at the same time.
You've been to Oregon?
Was that?
The state.
Yeah, the state of Oregon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Everything and nothing. What do you do for type 1 fun when you're in town?
Mostly bikes.
Yeah.
I mean, bikes, as the Tinder profile says, are 90% of what I do.
Oh, there we go. Oh, you have a – okay.
I
haven't been there yet.
Anyway.
I'm logging on.
Yeah, fine. Yeah. Just, I figure if I have one sentence to sum it up, bikes are 90% of what I do.
Yeah.
So, ride around, go to the TNRs, the group rides, of various sorts.
The Thursday night ride.
The Thursday night ride is –
the Midnight Mystery ride.
MMR.
The Dropout Club ride.
I sometimes go to those. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
For those listening, I'm loosely affiliated.
Loosely?
Yeah. Well, in the process of becoming, potentially.
That's right. The jacket says prospect.
It does.
Is that what that means?
Right. Yeah. Still proving myself.
Okay.
Or whatever.
I never felt like I could ask until I had a platform to ask from.
Right.
So
with other people listening.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So when you see him in the denim jacket, this is, yes, it's prospect.
I thought that was like your code name or something.
Yeah. No, the code name is Ricochet.
Oh.
Okay. Nice.
Anyway. But yeah, it's just ride around. We go explore. It's a good city for it. You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Urban exploration is kind of, I mean, that's the thing that I like doing
mm-hmm.
for fun anyway. It's
right.
just like finding what is left to know in your city, what is left to explore,
right.
where have you not yet been.
You ever made it to the back door ride?
No, not yet.
That one's less publicized.
I've heard
the Petalpalooza ride, yeah?
They do it on Petalpalooza, but it's the first Thursday.
Oh, really?
Where there's a formula. But, I mean, that one's hard for working folk being on 11 o'clock on a Thursday night.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But it is the best time for urban exploration.
Right. Yeah, you can do whatever you want. But you found some pretty cool spots on that when I can make it out.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's the Urbex ride.
That's about
so,
as...
Yeah. So you do the Thursday night ride, and the Thursday night ride usually ends in time for the backdoor ride, or do you
typically?
Usually...
I mean, you get to wherever the party spot is, and
uh-huh.
you usually have enough time for whatever your preferred mode of liquid recreation is the euphemism we'll go for.
Right.
It's a pretty good one.
Yeah, and then you can sneak off and catch it. Typically, after a little bit, the fire will still be going when you leave, but you can make it over in time.
Sure.
So if you have a habit of shutting down the fire at any ride you go to, you might not make it to this one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Then you go on the other ride, and sometimes you have fire, or sometimes you have a great view. From wherever you end up.
Right. Are you typically a fire shut downer kind of guy? Like, do you hang out until the embers are gone?
Often.
Okay.
As
far as that's your thing, right?
Yeah.
So long as there's fire, I'm there.
Yeah.
I got to bring this up, though, on a Thursday night ride that I was on, the only Thursday night ride that I was on, and which, incidentally, was maybe the only one that you weren't on.
Every now and again.
There was talk of, like, who's building the fire? And everyone was like, well, David's not here.
Oh, so you're the fire master.
At the beginning of the summer, I was very gung-ho about making sure that it was part of it that, hey, when we get to the beach, you start a fire. That's just how it goes.
There we go.
And lately, it's been great because a few other people have picked up the mantle, and I can just grab a handful of woods and multiple woods. Yes,
many woods,
and bring woods over and say, "Hey, here you go. Have fun. Here, I brought the newspaper, but not
there
actually do the thing," which is both nice and I like building fire, but
right,
it's a hard thing to let go of.
Yeah, but it's also cool. I can just talk to people
and
lock my bike up and.
Depends on which one you like more.
Right.
Do you like people or fire?
See, I use the fire. Right. I use the fire as an excuse to indulge my social anxiety.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It's one of those things where you can talk to somebody or you can stare at a thing.
Right.
And you don't get those all the time.
Yeah.
So as far as there's a lot of these bicycle rides that you do for fun involve having a fire.
Mm-hmm.
What can we say about what does it take to have a fire in a city? Where that may or may not be looked upon fondly.
I mean, I don't really care about that. I mean, like, one of the spots is right next to the fire department. They usually say, hey, will you just take one pallet off? Oh, okay.
But we're here if you need us.
Yeah, they're like, hey, yeah, we'll go talk. And then,
it's like job security for them.
Right. They're usually fine with it. They'll go actually deal with the real stuff, and we'll just, you know, guys, the water's right there. We all have water bottles. It's going to be fine. But
so typically you're having a fire near a river.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we have the Willamette running right through the middle, and then a lot of that is park, or, you know, in Portland we have the, you know, the spring water corridor or the Esplanade, where it's fairly, you know, quiet, and you can actually hide a fair number of people there and have a grand old time and not actually create issues.
Right.
But, you know, as far as starting a fire, you know, it's, you know, bring a Willamette Week or the Merc are actually great fire starters.
All those news weeklies I've been meaning to read.
Yes, yeah. It's the instead of beer, try reading news.
That hasn't worked yet.
They're there. Yeah. They're slowly getting better at reminding you on the internet, hey, read this thing.
Right.
But okay, fine. But
yeah, but those things we used to print on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mean the fire starter?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of the beaches, you know, being that it's tidal, we'll have enough driftwood there where you can get it going.
Sure.
Yeah. The spot right by the Hawthorne is great because there's only ever enough firewood for about 3 or 4 hours of a fire, and then you run out of wood, and you want to keep going, oh, shit, let's go on a pallet run or whatever. But the industrial district is right there, or you just kind of wander off because it's Thursday. And
right.
Things to do in the morning or not.
Yeah. It depends on your day. Depends on what you like to do for fun.
Right.
Or for work, or either.
Hopefully they're on the same page.
Or both.
Yeah.
I guess if the river is tidal at that point, you can also assume that, like, you know, some water is going to cover these embers at some point as well.
Right.
So it's not going to be – what are the tides like in Portland? Do you know? I haven't investigated it.
It's tidal up to the falls.
Okay.
The only real measurement that I've ever had of that was one time actually – last summer, where a few of us swam out to Ross Island, left our bikes locked up on the shore, and came back, and all of our back tires were in the water.
Ah.
What?
Yeah. Like, we locked up in a tree or whatever, you know, probably 5 or 10 feet. Yeah, I mean, I'm making up numbers at this point because it was many, many days ago.
Yeah. It seemed like the length of a human being.
Yeah, at least a human being.
Okay.
And then we can swim back with all, you know, one, the one boat with all of our backpacks in it.
Yeah.
Just, oh, shit, are those our bikes in the water? Sure enough. But, yeah, no problems.
Yeah.
Just, it was deep enough that the rim was in, but nothing more than that. Just kind of a reminder of, oh, yes, the river does move.
Right. The moon pulls on the water.
Right.
And the water moves.
Although apparently it doesn't do that above the falls in Oregon City.
That would make sense because it's no longer, I mean, the
it's no longer connected to the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah, the level of water that we're dealing with in Portland is still the level of water that you'd find at the ocean, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Like sea level is river level.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay.
You ever see that map of Portland of if the ocean rises X
number
of feet?
Yeah.
It's cool. We just turn it into a bunch of islands.
Like the Sea of Hawthorne or the
exactly.
Bay of Hawthorne.
Bay of Hawthorne.
I like that. Yeah. And it was like, Tabor Isle or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just like, all the peaks would become islands and everything else would go under.
You'd have a subaquatic studio.
Oh, true. Exactly. Yeah. Well, we would seal this up.
Yeah,
well.
This is watertight building.
Exactly.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, I think if we have hydroelectric electricity, I'm sure we could probably still make that work, right? You have to have insulated cables, but the dam would still generate electricity.
I think so.
Maybe.
I'm no electrician.
We'll check with the engineering team.
Yeah. Let's get a bunch of batteries right now.
Double A's. We can run a show on a double A, right?
Exactly. They're rechargeable.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So we can seal them in a bag and then put on our diving suits and.
And a pedal power generator down here.
That'll be more difficult for the people who visit as guests, I guess.
Yeah.
It might turn into a monologue show. It has been 7 weeks since I have seen the surface.
Like some Hemingway shit.
Exactly, yeah. The old man in the podcast. Well, we know that Steph's wine is still in here. So
that's true.
Yeah, we could. There's
probably vinegar by now, though. That's been here for a while.
The calories go away when it turns to vinegar?
That's a good question.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, the sugar's all eaten up, right?
Isn't that
the case?
Maybe. I mean, this is American Jackass now.
Pretty much.
If we step out and talk about things with authority about things we know nothing about.
I know nothing about fermentation.
Right. Neither do I. But I enjoy it. I appreciate it.
The byproducts of fermentation are quite enjoyable.
Seriously. So what's the next adventure for you, David?
I've been meaning to ride up to Olympia for a while.
Oh, yeah.
That's about 130 miles or so, I think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, fairly reasonable ride, you know, if you're into that sort of thing.
Totally.
I realize now that all the people who don't ride are like, oh, it's... You can always go farther than you think.
Right.
And it's actually, the elevation isn't even that bad. You know, the hood lap was like 15K elevation over the 3 days. It's like only, I don't know, a couple thousand up to Olympia.
Right. Oh.
There's that one big hill in the middle somewhere.
Oh, yeah. So
there's
it depends.
That plateau. Yeah.
Because I've done this ride of this ride.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you go over Green Mountain Road,
mm-hmm.
enormous. That's like Woodland or so.
Okay.
If you ride on I-5, not so bad. The I-5 shoulder is...
Except you're riding on I-5.
Right.
But it's not that bad. Like, the shoulder is super wide. It's wide enough for like an entire... It's like a breakdown lane or whatever.
Okay.
There's not that much debris and...
That's the air quality.
Yeah, it's not bad. Right. I had podcasts in my ears when I did it, so it's... it's like 5 miles, and then you can get out to Kalama, and then you can take the old Pacific Highway again.
You're only doing a section on...
Not the whole thing.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that for all night.
Right.
Or all day.
Yeah, just 5 miles is about as far as you want to do that.
Yeah, yeah. But, okay, so Olympia.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ride up there. I went to school up there, and you know, so I have friends in town, you know, with recently reproduced. So
yeah.
You got to go meet the offspring.
Meet the spawn.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
Perfect. The young Padawan.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's always the... Yeah, I've got piles of maps that I drew, you know, when I was bored at work.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
I wonder what's out there. But yeah, whatever. And yeah, slowly accumulating the bikepacking gear.
There you go.
And so yeah, I was down at Elk Rock Island a few weekends ago.
That's just south of town?
Yeah, yeah. It's actually, it's really pretty easy ride. You take the Springwater down, you're on 17th for a quick section, and then you're on the trolley trail.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Like a Milwaukee just south of Portland.
Yeah, exactly.
The new Orange Line territory.
Actually, yeah, yeah. You go right through that part of it. And then Oak Rock is a fun little place.
Yeah. Sometimes it's an island, sometimes it's not, depending on the level of the water.
Right. Which currently apparently is, you know, historical low.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently the river is about as low as it gets right now.
Oh, fascinating. But, so you can just walk out there.
Yeah, I mean, we got it there and there's no problem. And, of course, yeah, for legal reasons, there's no camping or no fires on that island.
Right, right. And you would not advocate or engage in such behavior.
Oh, no. No. anyway. started smiling before the euphemism. Could you finish?
But. Yes.
Is that a euphemism? Anyway. Yeah, it's a nice little place. The Shampooey, I want to go check out their
new,
they have the new hiker-biker facilities.
That's where we camped this weekend.
Oh, you were there. Nice.
Oh, yeah. It's a great spot.
Yeah. We were there Memorial Day in 2014.
Okay.
And we're the worst people there, but it was fine.
Well, yeah. So it goes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's, do you want like a bunch of drunk bike people or, although it's a state park, maybe not, but, or, you know, again, an RV with a satellite dish.
I don't think it's against the law to be drunk. It's against the law to be like wantonly drunk and disturbing
trouble.
The peace. Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. Which we weren't. We did get us a warning.
Okay.
But because I will share this information. Discharging a homemade bow and arrow in a state park is prohibited.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Yeah, yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. We all went out to go fishing or whatever at one point, and we left one of our buddies asleep in a hammock and came back, and he had gotten a citation at about 4:20 in the afternoon.
4:20.
Right on the dot.
For discharging a homemade bow and arrow.
Right. And discharging a bow and arrow in a state park.
Is the homemade part the problematic part?
No, on the citation, it's just discharging a bow and arrow in a state park is prohibited.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. But you know, we had actually built it. We had two, actually. Built with paracord and sticks. And,
okay.
Turns out arrows are the hard part.
Sure.
Because fletching is an art that's mostly lost.
Right,
stabilizers.
With the little feathers to keep the flight path straight. Yeah.
I built one out of a beer can and some tube glue at one point.
Nice.
But that arrow lasted for exactly one shot. It was perfect. It flew, it arced, it stuck in, but then it was dead.
Right, right.
But yeah, yeah. It was a fun little experimentation time.
Hilarious. Very good. Well, thank you for coming in. Any recommendations for people who might not be familiar with the Portland bicycle scene?
Ride bikes. You know, if you go talk to people, figure it out. There are things to do, and you'll have fun. It's good. And you can always go further than you think. You know, the in-town rides are great. You know, typically, you know, 10 miles plus minus 2, but you can do 10 times that pretty easily.
Perfect. Excellent. Yeah. So go ride your bike.
Go ride your bike.
David says so.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, is it time for some mail and news and things?
It can be.
Okay. Yeah. I think we could do either one of those, and we would be very happy.
Whichever one, whichever track comes up first.
Yes.
Yeah, what would happen if I just press, like, forward and see what?
Let's find out.
What?
Shuffle
which
all.
One comes up. Yeah.
Yeah.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can into the daylight. Pedal just as fast.
All right. Hey, speaking of your news weeklies.
Yes.
These first two are from the Portland Mercury's Newcomer's Guide to Portland. Which I feel a little, I got to say.
Are there newcomers?
There's at least one right here.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind. There we go. They wrote it just for you.
I feel a little like, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but like they're kind of stealing our thunder because the last few episodes we've been talking about, like, somebody needs to write a little guide here for...
Maybe they're following our directions.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, I'd like to think that.
I'm not sure if they hit the mark yet.
Okay.
Anyways, this first one, bicycle death traps. Hey, new cyclist, avoid these roads at all costs.
Okay, and we have to find out if we agree with them or not.
Yes. First he says, ride anywhere you feel comfortable and can do so safely and legally. It'll be great. Provided you remember three simple streets and avoid them at all costs.
And we're going to have to check in around the room and see if we agree with this. So first up.
So I will say right now, for the record, I've ridden all three of these on one occasion or another.
Okay. We should do all three on one day.
There we go. The full length of each one, too.
Yeah.
The Lamb of Week says no ride.
I'm going to set this up. So first up, Powell, the city's most violent road. I do agree with that assessment.
That's true.
Southeast Powell is actually a highway that whooshes cars from southeast Portland over Mount Hood. It's owned and operated by the state, and the state cares mostly about efficiency and jamming as many cars on this street as possible.
That is true. And I think in just about every part of town, I would except East Portland, if you go past
east of 92nd.
It gets smaller. It's still a state highway.
And there's a bike lane.
But there is a bike lane there,
is a bike lane. Yep.
There's even one right at from 17th to 26th. Going up the hill, yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because they spit you across because of the train tracks right there.
Oh, sure.
And then there's the park, so you can avoid going through the sketchy industrial section, which I also ride.
But. Right, right. That's fun for
I once rode it from either 50th or 52nd to about 72nd.
Okay.
It was not fun. It was by mistake, too.
It's almost like a chute that traffic is funneled down because there's curbs on both sides. There's not a lot of room to get away from it. Yeah. And it's all high speed traffic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's where the music and bikes ride. I think you were on that one, David.
When you got your tall bike system working.
Yeah. And we were stopped. Were we stopped at a thing? I forget. We were at Powell and 72nd. And I think we were just about to enter Powell. And then this truck came roaring through.
Like crossing Powell? Yeah.
And just about hit somebody in front of our group.
Oh, yeah. That was a Mateus.
That's right.
Big pink bike.
Yeah.
Just ran a red light.
Right.
How do you miss a giant pink tall bike?
Exactly. Yeah. And how do you miss a red light? Happened.
It's been both of those at the same time, yeah.
And it didn't seem necessarily malicious. I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. But that was an unsafe speed to be piloting an enormous truck like that at anyways.
Right.
Also, that's a section of the town that's not used to organized bike rides generally.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, less expected, perhaps. I don't know. Anyways, Powell is not a fun place to ride.
But riding lengthwise is, you have a little bit more control. I mean, than crossing it.
Visibility.
Most of the issues we have that you see with Powell are when crossing it. So
that's true.
Exercise extreme care when moving across Powell. But if you're on it, as long as you're fine dealing with traffic, take the lane and it'll be fine.
Right. I would definitely have my lights on as I always do. Anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I have my dynamo system.
Just turn on when you roll.
Right, right. So next
next road is Sandy. It's just no fun.
I disagree.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
It's tons of fun.
Thank you for disagreeing first.
Yeah. Coming downhill on that is...
Yeah.
I mean, because you can do...
Well, even going up, it is... Yeah. It's its own kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Maybe type 1.5.
Type 1.5. Okay, so it says, the quote is, it's just no fun and your heart's racing by the end. If your heart's racing by the end, maybe that is fun.
That's part of the fun.
It depends on how you feel about
this sort
of thing.
That's why I do it.
Yep. Right.
Yep. Making matters worse, if you want to get to one of Sandy's many fine establishments, you can't just ride a quieter parallel road. Because the goddamn thing slashes diagonally through the east side.
Right,
all the more reason to ride it.
No parallel roads.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so yeah, Club 21, I'm a big fan. Velocult, yeah. I'm a big fan.
Yep.
What's the other one? There's a few more.
Hollywood Theater.
Hollywood Theater, big fan.
Yep. Theater.
Yep. Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's, semi-big fan.
So yeah, anyway, Sandy,
the
depends.
Panic room.
Yeah, right. It's been rescued by Bar Rescue.
Right.
And
no longer
sucks.
Tonic. Now it's terrible.
Right. I would say Sandy, in a lot of places, has enough room for bicycles and other types of traffic to coexist peacefully.
Mm-hmm. I will say that is the road I've had probably more contentious interactions with drivers.
Mm-hmm.
But I often just kind of take that as part of the territory.
Like you're on Sandy.
I'm on Sandy.
Right.
People are not going to be happy that I'm there.
And the southeast equivalent is Foster Road, which is going to have its own bike lane someday. Maybe that's why they didn't put it in this list. But
yeah,
you think originally they had it on there and the editor's like, you know, that's going to have a bike lane. We're going
right.
to might as well just take it off right now.
Yeah, totally. So what's the last one?
Last one is 82nd.
Ah.
And I really don't like this assessment here. He says it's a barrier east of which the city's vaunted bike network begins to rapidly dwindle.
If by rapidly dwindle you mean is built
gets
out
better,
like crazy.
Oh. Yeah.
There's just so many great bikeways east of 82nd.
Yeah,
East Portland is rife with great bicycle networks. It's just not cool by most people's...
Well, it's not cool, and I will agree. He says the wayfinding signs are fewer... And vexing dead ends are more common. You don't see a whole lot of the like little signs that says like, you know, this district this way or this one this way.
Okay. That's true. Yeah. Getting across it can be dicey.
But the lanes in my experience are much wider east of 82nd.
Yeah.
And there's lanes east of 82nd.
So talking about 82nd just in general, riding on that street itself, kind of like Powell, also a state highway.
Yeah.
Not a great place to ride.
I wouldn't really do it during the day.
But we have done it at night.
At night? After, I don't know, 11?
Wasn't it like 12:30?
Something like that.
Like midnight and a half? You and I and Adele were all...
Yeah, there just wasn't a lot of traffic there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is pretty fun.
Yeah, I was up on one of the MMRs ended up at the 205, you know, bike path.
Uh-huh.
We were coming back with, sunrise with, you know, three or four people on tall bikes. And
okay.
You can just ride down the middle of the road.
Sure. Just mob it.
Right. Oh, yeah. And then you to division the whole way down, too. It was really nice, and easy way to get home.
Just like the king does.
Right down the middle.
next article, part of the same newcomer's guide, Getting Around, Navigating Portland Transportation for the Newbie.
By Joe Streckert.
You know this guy?
He's the guy that does Interesting Times, the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, friend of Doug Kent Crispin's.
Yeah. So he's got three bullet points. Well, he's got more in the full article, but there's three I want to highlight here.
He's rife with bullet points.
Yes. Buy a bike. Don't go too fancy. A high-end bike will probably get swiped. So go for something ordinary looking that won't catch the eye of thieves. Also, invest in a ULOC. Anything else is an invitation to theft.
I don't want to invite people to theft.
No. Interestingly enough, there was an article that I'm not linking to this, but it's an article I think on Bike Portland about Charlie Hales' meeting at the Ford building.
Uh-huh. Is that one he did his first bike ride on?
He did a bike ride to it. I don't know if it was
like his first one since he went in office.
Yeah, and
guy doesn't ride bikes.
People razzed him for using a cable lock.
Oh right, he was like, "But I like cable locks.
Yeah,
I like Treks.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, do your thing.
Hey, whatever. Yeah, whatever gets you out, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyways, I just thought that was funny that like that was the thing that made it into print.
Maybe he knows that because he's the mayor. If his bike gets stolen, he's going to get it back.
Yeah. Right? It'd be a pretty high profile theft.
You would think, yeah.
Do you think he has a serial number written down?
I wonder. Maybe that should be next time he has a press conference. Excuse me.
Charlie Hill.
Over here.
It's probably a podcast.
Do you know your bike serial number?
You know your serial number.
I would be a little bit chagrined, though, if he just rattled it right off.
I just recited it for the public.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah. So he probably shouldn't do that.
Well, is it a matter of public record, right? Is it a public vehicle at that point?
Ooh, good question.
Did we buy him the – is it like the – is it the mayor's like official bicycle?
It's right. The people's bicycle.
It's the people's bicycle.
I don't know. Okay.
Second bullet point, learn the bike routes. Don't ride on arterial streets like Southeast Hawthorne or Foster. Disagree.
Yep.
Unless you enjoy the sensation of motorists hating you.
Or unless you enjoy the sensation of the breeze, like, moving across your face.
Right. Yeah. Well, or just, like, if you want to get from point A to point B a little bit faster, Foster's diagonal.
And and I'm kind of living testament to the fact that riding on the greenways isn't going to make you immune to drivers.
The screenways.
Screenways.
Right. Honestly, though, like, yeah. I mean, part of the reason why I ended up taking division so often to get this reputation was because Clinton was just so contentious.
Which reputation?
Just some reputation.
You mean being the king of division?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Am I going to spoil it if I point out they're hoping to fix Clinton? Like, is that coming up next?
Yeah. No.
Well, they had that meeting just the other day. They're actually going to put the diverters in finally.
Okay.
It's like, what, 17th?
In a world.
That actually didn't make it in our news this time around.
Okay.
This time around.
Well, I'm glad I'm not spoiling anything, though.
No.
Okay, good.
Third bullet point, if you are truly desperate, you can also get a car. Drivers here are polite to the point of aggravation. And, you will be tempted to honk. Do not. I couldn't stress that anymore. Do not. By honking, you will mark yourself as an outsider, and everyone will think you are an asshole.
And assholes will throw locks.
That's right.
Think. You will instead sit behind your wheel, move slowly, fume impotently, and endure it.
I love that.
Yes.
Yep. All right.
Third piece of news comes to us from Bike Delaware. Not Bike Portland. And this is a new study confirms the share the road sign is a problem.
A problem.
Yes. In November of 2013, Delaware formally discontinued the use of the share the road sign, the first and so far still the only U.S. state to do so. The sign was interpreted in diametrically opposite ways by cyclists and motorists and failed to prevent conflict and hostility between motorists and cyclists. Now a study published on August in 2015 by researchers at NCSU, North Carolina State, has confirmed what Delaware already knew. Share the road is a problem. The authors of the new study found that there was no statistically significant difference in responses between those who saw share the road signage and those who saw no signage.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And attached is from their website is a little like share the road with the circle crossed out and then a may use full lane with a bike over top of it and a little green check mark.
Right.
Like,
well, I think it was up
this
in Vancouver.
Is preferential.
In Vancouver, there was a sign that said, bicycles share the road. Or like, there was like a sign, it said the bicycle symbol, and then it said share the road. And somebody else went in with like a Sharpie marker and wrote need to share the road. Like,
right.
As in and bikes need to share the road with cars.
Which is not exactly the intent, which is why Delaware, originally stopped using it. Was
right.
Like,
it's like
you
the
know,
messaging.
We realized, people from their various forms of transportation are going to interpret it as from their various form of transportation. Like
sure.
If you're driving in a car, you're saying, oh yeah, these people need to share the road. If you're riding on a bike, you're pointing to the people driving in the car. These people need to share the road.
Or, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So yes. All right. Interesting.
So that brings us to what?
Well, what do we got?
What do we got
left at this point in the show? What else could we possibly have? Oh.
There we go. First, we got a voicemail from Daniel D. of Bicycle San Antonio.
Hi there. My name is Daniel Day. I am the author of Bicycle San Antonio. That's my blog on blogspot.com. you guys are asking, or at least your guest was asking, do people steal bicycles off of the bike racks in the bus? The answer is absolutely yes, well, at least in San Antonio, Texas. My friend, last week, got his bicycle stolen on the number 62. Good luck in finding that. And it also almost happened to me. When I put my bicycle onto the bike rack, I lock it up. I take the wheel, and I take my U-lock, and I lock that wheel and frame together. My story is that in San Antonio, Texas, the buses at the end of the night line up, called the lineup, to all the buses leaving downtown. And I was on the bus. I put my bicycle on it. I locked it up. I locked the wheel and frame together. And this other person puts her other bicycle. Well, I'm just there noticing my phone. And guess what? Someone tries to take off my bicycle off of the rack. He couldn't do it. Realized it was locked. So he went to the other person. The bus driver finally noticed, oh, crap, someone's stealing somebody's bicycle. He ran off. So my advice to anybody using public transit or buses, take your U-lock, take whatever locking device you have, and lock up that wheel and frame together to prevent it from being stolen. This is also a good thing to do when you go inside a convenience store, because chances are when you come out, your bicycle will be there. That's not going to stop somebody in a pickup from picking that bicycle up and tossing it in the back of the truck, but it will stop a person from getting on that bicycle and riding away with it. Via Transit in San Antonio, Texas, that's our public transit system, does not like you to lock the bicycle up to the rack. So my advice is lock the wheel and frame together. And my bicycle was on the rack when it hit a truck, cutting it off, making a right turn. And my bicycle survived because I locked the front wheel and frame together. It was able to miraculously pop out and fall off the rack to the side. So don't lock it to the rack. The bus driver doesn't like that. Chances are TriMet won't like that, and certainly Via doesn't. But, hey, treat it like your car. You don't leave the keys in your car. When you walk away from it, you take the keys, you lock up the door. Same thing with your bicycle. That's my advice. I hope everyone does it.
I've been a fan of this kind of approach before, where, like, yeah, if there's nothing to lock your bicycle to, you can lock your bicycle to itself.
Yeah. Certainly not a great way to secure it, but... As far as, like, yeah. Go ahead.
I had a bike actually roll away from me because, you know, I was at the counter of a 7-Eleven and the bike was on the window. I was like, I can see it. I'm 10 feet away.
Right.
It's not going to be a problem. Then my lights are moving, and then I just watched my lights fade off as they went down Hawthorne.
You're like, oh, hey.
I'm chasing and yelling and hopped into a cab and chased after it. But once somebody's on it,
yeah,
they're going to win.
It's pretty difficult.
The beauty of the bike.
Wait, what happened? Is that what happened to you?
Yeah, that's actually one of the reasons why I was on the fixie for the century, is because that bike was still missing at the time.
Gotcha.
Later
okay.
It came back because, you know, it was very obviously a stolen bike.
Serial numbers.
Serial numbers.
Yeah, write them down.
Write down your serial numbers.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I came back with different pedals and the Brooks was gone, but yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, only so much you can do, I guess.
Exactly, you know. But you'll get it back. But yeah, I mean, at least make sure it won't roll away.
Did chasing it at a cab, like, did that seem like it was...
I mean, how rational can you be at that moment?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It's better than nothing.
Yeah,
I
mean,
suppose.
I just kind of flagged the guy down in the middle of Hawthorne and jumped in yelling and just go, 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 go. And
yeah.
I just kind of, okay.
Follow that car.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah. But it's probably both a good thing and a bad thing that we didn't catch him
at that
moment. But
right.
Because, I don't know, it was 2 in the morning. Anyway.
Sure.
But
yeah.
You like would have came into play?
Actually.
Wait, did you have the U-lock with you?
It was in my bag, actually.
Okay.
I had my lock, and I chose not to use it.
So U-lock justice could have been a thing.
It could have actually,
It's good for everyone that was not the case.
Right, yeah.
Well, in this case, the U-lock justice would have prevented the bike from being stolen.
There was preventative and then retributive, or what's the word?
Oh, sure. Right. Yeah.
Retribute.
So preventative U-lock justice.
Yeah, preventative U-lock justice.
This is something that everyone can get behind.
Yeah. We're all...
Use it for its intended purpose.
Team U-lock.
Okay. The only other thing I was thinking of is that sometimes if I'm riding the Max with my touring bike and I'm like traveling with that, sometimes I have locked the wheel to the frame of the Max itself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like if you were using a bus rack that you'd have the time or that, like, the operator would be excited about you locking your bike to the bus.
Standing
but
in front of traffic.
But at the very least, yeah, locking the bike to itself. That's a thing. So thank you, Daniel.
All right. Next up from John W. mails us. Hi, I love your show. It lasts just about my whole commute from Beaverton home to Northeast Portland. On the last show, Aaron was trying to come up with socially, ecologically conscious ways to dispose of his years of accumulated shoes. Nike, as well as most running shoe companies, have recycled shoe programs. You can drop off the shoes, and they recycle them. When in doubt, check with Metro. They'll guide you on recycling almost anything.
Which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly got on that site and I was like trying to find ways to stump Metro.
Can basically, this be recycled?
Well, yeah. Basically, if so long as it's not like electronic parts, they've got somebody who can recycle it. And like electronic parts, just go to Free Geek.
Yeah.
This is about your pile of dead Sambas, right?
Yes.
Because I also have a pile of dead Sambas.
Oh, there we go.
I've got about six pairs.
Yeah.
Well,
if you, if you don't want to turn them into birdhouses.
Yeah. Right.
Also, towards the end of the last show, you were reading a letter that talked about all paths, roads, stairs, or bikeways, a great way to think and approach bike transportation. I thought you might enjoy a video of riding stairs on a bicycle, cyclocross version. Did you happen to click that link?
I haven't seen that yet.
It's pretty short. It's pretty.
Is it awesome?
Pretty interesting.
Nice.
Like, to see somebody. He didn't even pedal the whole time. Like, but yeah, just ride up. I guess he just must have had enough momentum to
get
there.
Right. But,
yeah.
Yeah. We got one from Chris, yeah. My friend Chris. Actually, he and I knew each other back in the day when I used to empty parking meters for work.
Oh.
He was talking about me being in the KFC parking lot and needing to steal Wi-Fi. And he said, why not get a data plan? Because there are ways to get it a la carte.
Yes.
He mentions one carrier, and I actually I have another carrier. But I was thinking about the same thing. It's like, you know, you can get a la carte data these days for not too much. So I was thinking about that next time I travel.
There's also like you could buy a hotspot.
Right.
And, you know, only turn it on when you need it.
There are ways to do it without having to pay like $80 a month for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like this. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Comments from episode 256. Sebastian Poole writes in, Domestique is the name you guys were looking for when we were talking about the people who ride ahead and sort of cut the wind for the person who is sort of set to win.
I was hoping that would come up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Breaking wind for your fellow bicyclists.
in front, no less.
I call that MMR.
That's right.
He's the guy that breaks the wind for you or for the protected rider.
Okay.
Also, Rob has a great FM radio voice.
Yeah. Peanut Butter Jar Matt said that in reference to the rental car insurance, most credit cards provide coverage for no additional charge. So that's shame on me for not checking that out. I got to find out what my credit card provides. But check the terms.
Yep.
Liability, you can get a non-driver auto insurance policy from various places. He gives us a link. So that's a possibility.
Yeah.
What about Car2Go? Do they provide insurance?
Car2Go does provide insurance. That's all part of the package, but there's also the trick that Car2Go only goes to so many places without costing an arm and a leg.
You mean
so,
you can't take a Car2Go to Pennsylvania?
You could, but it would take forever and cost a lot.
But since you have an account with them, you're under their insurance, so your bike is covered under their insurance.
But only when you're using their car. I think it's a limited sort. It's an a la carte situation as well.
Lastly in the comment section, Johnny K says, I like how you're showing what media venue the messages to the show are coming in from. That way I can reply to those messages if I choose, or I can stalk them, depending on how interesting they are.
LOL.
Hey, did you get that clip when Aaron says loudly, skull and bones? That would be a great soundbite.
Can you do it again just so I can get that?
Yeah. That was good.
We'll just have to pull it.
Okay.
Here in post.
And then Rory says, did you guys see this? And I haven't yet, so did you?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like I know I've seen this before. I thought you had sent it to me, but maybe somebody else did.
What exactly is this?
So it is it is a man who he, in the beginning of the video, gets a ticket for riding outside of the bike lane.
Oh, the guy who stays in the bike lane at all costs.
And then,
and does some terrific wipeouts.
Yes.
Yes, that's always worth bringing back up.
It's also from a few years ago. I love it every time it comes up. But
It's a recurring meme.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so perfect at any given time, you know.
Totally.
Well, let's give tickets to bicyclists, those scofflaws.
Yeah, they don't want to stay in their mandatory side paths.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what? Other people are in those mandatory side paths, damn it.
Right.
I appreciate at the very last end of the clip, he runs into a cop car.
Totally.
That was parked in the bike lane.
Just a brilliant piece of editing. Right
yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Right at the very end. And it turns out it wasn't even a real thing. Either.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Not riding in a bike.
He called into some radio show, and like the person on the radio show is like, "That's not illegal."
Not illegal.
All right. Well, it's been a good show.
Yeah.
Good to wrap.
I guess it's time to do that.
Time to do that thing that we always do, where we read the credits. In old-timey voice.
I'm not doing it. Our website is sprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast at gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at sprocketpodcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Art Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Johnny K., Shadowfoot.
Katharina Melamgard, Wayne Norman, Doug Robertson.
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson.
Cameron Lee, Richard Wazinski, Tim Mooney.
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubisch, Matt Kelly.
Jim Gooden, Eric Wise, Doug Cohen-Miller.
This guy right over here, Todd Parker, Scott McAllister Morgan, Chris Gonzalez.
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, John Blood.
Allison Wiley, Andy Brunner, Dave Nose.
Lars V, Chris Smith, Christy Kaser.
Caleb Jenkins, JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt.
Patrick Archain, Gabriel Trainer, Sebastian Poole.
Marco Lowe, Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson.
Drew the Welder, Anna, Krista Skukas.
John Wasserman, Andre Johnson, and Shelley and Troy.
The King of Division. Not me, though. Josh Zissen and Richard G.
Now brush your teeth! Skull and Bones!